Introduction to Concepts. This lecture provides an extensive overview of the concepts underlying biofeedback training, its foundational theories, and its clinical applications. The discussion begins with basic concepts and definitions, clarifying the nature of biofeedback as a learning-based, self-regulation technique. It distinguishes biofeedback from simple physiological monitoring or modulation, emphasizing its role in teaching individuals to control their biological processes voluntarily. Following this, the essay addresses key principles from the BCIA blueprint, details major biofeedback modalities, and critiques non-evidence-based practices such as quantum biofeedback. It explores how biofeedback leverages learning and memory, including both declarative and non-declarative mechanisms, with an emphasis on associative processes such as classical and operant conditioning. Reinforcement, shaping, and six influential models are discussed to provide context for therapeutic learning frameworks. The essay then examines individualized treatment factors, including therapist credibility, client motivation, and session structuring. It also explores newer areas such as interbrain synchrony and the importance of metaphorical explanation in client education. By synthesizing these diverse topics under structured headings, the essay articulates a cohesive narrative about how biofeedback supports clinical outcomes through personalized, evidence-based training. Concepts. Biofeedback is best understood as a structured learning process in which individuals engage in an iterative cycle of action, feedback, and adjustment to gain voluntary control over their physiological functions. It shares features with skill acquisition in music or sport, requiring consistent practice and contextual application. At its core, biofeedback acts as a psychophysiological mirror that enables clients to recognize how internal states can be externally monitored and modulated. Through repeated exposure to physiological cues, users learn to transition from dependence on instruments to reliance on internal awareness. This fosters a shift from externalized data interpretation to intuitive self-regulation, where internal signals guide behavior change. In therapeutic practice, biofeedback bridges bodily awareness and cognitive reflection. Individuals begin by using sensors and displays to visualize heart rate, muscle tension, or skin temperature. Over time, they develop an embodied understanding of how specific thoughts, emotions, or behaviors influence physiological states. This learning process often begins with equipment-based instruction but evolves into self-perception without the use of tools. As clients internalize the principles of biofeedback, they become capable of adapting physiological responses in real-world settings, enhancing both clinical outcomes and performance optimization. Biofeedback is defined by the learning process. Biofeedback is not defined by the type of equipment used, but by the educational process it initiates. Whether the technology is simple or sophisticated, the essence of biofeedback lies in helping individuals learn to control and alter their physiological functions through feedback. This concept is exemplified by cases in which individuals learn to regulate posture or muscle activity using mirrors or tactile cues, even in the absence of electronic sensors. What matters is the loop of observation, behavioral change, and reinforcement that facilitates voluntary control. Self-regulation is the ultimate goal of biofeedback, achieved when a client can consistently perform a physiological task, such as reducing heart rate or warming the hands, without real-time feedback. The training serves as a bridge, not a destination, enabling clients to generalize skills to environments beyond the clinical setting. This process mirrors traditional learning paradigms, where internalized strategies gradually replace external cues. The transition from extrinsic to intrinsic control reflects a shift from dependence on the feedback device to autonomous physiological mastery. The learning nature of biofeedback challenges misconceptions that it is a passive or device-centered intervention. Instead, it is an active engagement between client, practitioner, and physiological data, guided by principles from educational and behavioral psychology. This distinguishes biofeedback from pharmacological approaches or passive therapies, positioning it as a dynamic training process. Regardless of the symptom or modality, biofeedback's defining feature remains the facilitation of voluntary, self-directed change through guided learning. Definitions of biofeedback. Biofeedback is formally defined as a process that enables individuals to learn to change physiological activity for the purpose of improving health and performance. This learning is made possible through the use of precise instruments that measure functions such as brainwave activity, heart rate, muscle tension, and skin temperature. These instruments provide rapid and accurate feedback, allowing users to become aware of physiological states that are typically outside conscious perception. By presenting this information in real time, biofeedback enables individuals to make deliberate changes in their behavior that lead to improved regulation of these bodily systems. The definition emphasizes several essential elements. First, biofeedback is inherently a learning process rather than a passive treatment. Second, its purpose is to foster enduring changes that enhance health and functional capacity. Third, it depends on the rapid feedback of performance data that informs the user's responses. Fourth, physiological changes are often accompanied by changes in thought patterns, emotional responses, and behavior. Ultimately, successful biofeedback training leads to independence from the instrumentation, as the learned changes become internalized and sustainable. This process sets biofeedback apart from interventions that simply apply stimulation or medication to the body without engaging the client in learning or volitional control. Unlike treatments that act on the body, biofeedback involves the individual as an active participant, cultivating awareness, agency, and mastery. The goal is not just short-term physiological shifts, but durable improvements in self-regulation that clients can apply across diverse settings and challenges. Core elements of biofeedback. The effectiveness of biofeedback relies on the interaction among three core elements: physiological monitoring, real-time feedback, and training in self-regulation skills. Monitoring alone does not constitute biofeedback. It must be coupled with feedback that informs the client about how their body is functioning in real time. This feedback must be comprehensible and actionable, allowing clients to adjust their behavior or mental state in pursuit of a targeted physiological goal. Importantly, self-regulation, the ability to control internal states voluntarily, is the end goal and distinguishes biofeedback from diagnostic or observational techniques. Another critical element is the therapeutic relationship. The practitioner's role is not merely to operate equipment, but to serve as a coach, guiding the client through interpretation of feedback, goal setting, and technique refinement. This relationship fosters motivation, builds trust, and provides contextual support for the learning process. Mindfulness, which involves focused, non-judgmental awareness of internal states, further enhances training outcomes by helping clients attend to physiological signals with clarity and acceptance. Biofeedback also requires an iterative, trial-and-error process, whereby clients test strategies, receive feedback, and adjust their approach accordingly. Over time, successful techniques become integrated into the client's behavioral repertoire, contributing to greater psychophysiological flexibility and resilience. Clients become more aware of the interactions between their mind and body, empowering them to take proactive steps toward managing symptoms and enhancing their performance. In summary, the synergy between physiological monitoring, guided feedback, and structured learning defines and drives the biofeedback process. Physiological monitoring and modulation are not biofeedback. Physiological monitoring, such as measuring heart rate or blood pressure, becomes biofeedback only when the data is fed back to the individual, enabling them to learn and exert control. Simply recording a variable, as in routine medical assessments, does not constitute biofeedback. Feedback is the essential component that completes the information loop, transforming passive data into an active learning experience. For example, when a nurse announces a patient's blood pressure reading, this serves as a rudimentary form of feedback, enabling the patient to become aware of their physiological state. However, unless this information is used systematically to train the patient in self-regulation, it falls short of true biofeedback. Similarly, physiological modulation, deliberately altering body systems through external interventions, does not equate to biofeedback. Methods such as photobiomodulation or vagal nerve stimulation act directly on the body without informing the individual or encouraging volitional change. These techniques can be invaluable in augmenting biofeedback training. However, they are not biofeedback, full stop. They do not cultivate internal awareness, teach self-regulation skills or increase autonomy. True biofeedback teaches the client to recognize internal signals and to influence them voluntarily through skill learning. The distinction is critical. Biofeedback is about self-regulation through information, not passive modulation. Therefore, combining feedback with intentional practice is what differentiates biofeedback from merely observing or stimulating physiological processes. Effective biofeedback transforms raw physiological data into personally meaningful information that supports behavioral change. This process empowers clients to manage stress, pain, and other symptoms not by relying on external interventions, but by developing sustainable skills that generalize to everyday life contexts. Major biofeedback modalities. A biofeedback modality is a biofeedback instrument, like a heart rate monitor. Biofeedback is delivered through multiple modalities, each targeting specific physiological systems and suited to particular clinical and performance objectives. An electroencephalograph, EEG, measures cortical electrical activity and is central to neurofeedback, which is used to train attention and emotional regulation. A surface electromyograph, SEMG, detects muscle activity, which is often used in the treatment of chronic pain and muscle reeducation. Thermistors, also known as feedback thermometers, measure peripheral temperature to assist with disorders such as migraines or Raynaud's disease. Photoplethysmographs, PPG, and electrocardiographs, ECG/EKG, assess cardiovascular function and heart rate variability, HRV, which are useful in stress and autonomic regulation training. Additional modalities include the electrodermograph, which measures skin conductance as a marker of sympathetic arousal, and respirometers that track chest and abdominal motion to guide respiratory training. These instruments translate invisible physiological processes into visible or auditory feedback, allowing clients to modify their internal states with precision and awareness. Clinicians choose modalities based on symptom presentation, training goals, and the client's psychophysiological profile. The integration of these tools into treatment protocols enables targeted interventions that can be tailored to each individual's specific needs and requirements. For example, a client with chronic anxiety might benefit from HRV and respiration training, while one with tension headaches might respond best to SEMG. The diversity of modalities underscores the flexibility of biofeedback and its capacity to be customized. Each tool is a conduit for learning, an interface between the individual and their body that, when combined with skilled instruction, becomes a powerful instrument for change. An explosion of personal biofeedback devices and apps. The rapid evolution of wearable technologies and mobile health applications has led to an increase in consumer-grade biofeedback tools. These devices offer unprecedented access to physiological data and have the potential to democratize self-regulation training. Fitness trackers such as the Apple Watch and Fitbit Sense monitor heart rate, sleep stages, respiration, and activity levels, enabling users to identify patterns and make informed lifestyle adjustments. Specialized apps such as Elite HRV, Inner Balance, and Optimal HRV integrate with sensors to provide real-time feedback on heart rate variability, guiding users through breathing and relaxation exercises. Despite their accessibility, these tools vary significantly in terms of accuracy, feedback quality, and instructional support. While some devices offer meaningful training interfaces, others merely collect and display data without aiding skill development. Additionally, without professional guidance, users may misinterpret feedback or fail to integrate it into a coherent self-regulation practice. Nevertheless, the increasing use of biofeedback-enabled apps in sports, education, and stress management underscores their growing relevance. These technologies also provide opportunities for between-session practice, enhancing skill acquisition and generalization. When paired with clinician oversight, they can reinforce training, track progress, and support behavior change. However, the core distinction remains: devices that offer data without promoting learning are not delivering true biofeedback. For these tools to fulfill their potential, they must serve as platforms for active engagement, not passive monitoring. The future lies in their thoughtful integration into evidence-based protocols that respect the principles of biofeedback training. Quantum biofeedback and leniosis. Some commercially marketed technologies, such as quantum biofeedback devices and leniosis systems, claim to provide biofeedback but fail to meet the criteria required for legitimate practice. These devices purport to correct physiological or energetic imbalances using electromagnetic fields, yet typically do not provide immediate, comprehensible feedback about the user's performance. Their claims often lack empirical support, relying instead on vague language about energy balancing or quantum harmonization without presenting peer-reviewed evidence or transparent methodology. These instruments are best categorized under physiological modulation rather than biofeedback. They act upon the body rather than engaging the client in a learning process informed by monitored physiological activity. The absence of a feedback loop means that clients are passive recipients of the intervention rather than active participants in developing self-regulation skills. This violates the essential tenet of biofeedback as an educational, volitional process. The proliferation of pseudo-biofeedback devices presents ethical and clinical concerns. Clients may forego effective, evidence-based treatments in favor of these unvalidated methods, resulting in delayed care or exacerbation of symptoms. Practitioners must critically assess the legitimacy of emerging technologies and communicate clearly with clients about what constitutes scientifically supported biofeedback. Upholding professional standards ensures that biofeedback remains grounded in physiological science, behaviorism, and therapeutic transparency. Learning and memory. Learning and memory form the cognitive infrastructure of biofeedback. Learning refers to the acquisition of new skills or knowledge, while memory pertains to the storage and retrieval of this knowledge. Within biofeedback training, clients learn to modify physiological responses through repetition, reinforcement, and reflection. Memory systems help consolidate these changes so they can be deployed outside the clinical environment. This process is dynamic and individualized, with progress dependent on practice, the quality of feedback, and internal motivation. Memory can be divided into declarative, explicit, and non-declarative, implicit types, both of which are engaged during training. Declarative memory supports conscious recall of facts and strategies, such as instructions for paced breathing, whereas non-declarative memory enables automatic responses, including consistently relaxing muscles under stress. These memory systems work in tandem to transform novel skills into habitual, reliable behaviors that persist over time. Successful biofeedback training enhances relational learning, enabling individuals to associate internal cues with specific self-regulation strategies. Over time, these associations become encoded into long-term memory, facilitating rapid retrieval when needed, such as during high-stress situations. The ability to generalize these skills to novel contexts is a testament to the durability of learning and the integration of memory systems into the efficacy of biofeedback. By leveraging both memory systems, biofeedback transitions from a session-based intervention into a life-integrated skill set. As clients develop greater psychophysiological literacy, they gain not only symptom control, but also enhanced awareness of how thoughts, emotions, and behaviors interact with bodily functions. This lays the groundwork for sustained health and optimal performance. Biofeedback examples. Biofeedback applications span clinical, educational, and performance contexts, offering clients tailored strategies to address a wide range of physiological challenges. For example, a client experiencing anxiety during meetings may recall and apply breathing techniques learned during previous training sessions to lower arousal. This illustrates episodic memory retrieval in action and demonstrates how biofeedback supports real-time self-regulation. Such applications reinforce the idea that biofeedback is not confined to the laboratory or clinic, but can generalize across environments and stressors. Clinicians often use discrimination training to enhance clients' awareness of internal states. By asking clients to estimate their heart rate or muscle tension and comparing this with real-time data, clients refine their ability to detect subtle bodily cues. This method builds the internal reference framework necessary for effective self-monitoring and correction. In respiratory training, for instance, clients might guess their inhalation volume before verifying the true value with a device, thereby reinforcing interoceptive accuracy. These techniques exemplify the transition from equipment-assisted learning to intuitive self-awareness. Through repeated exposure and corrective feedback, clients gain confidence in their ability to self-regulate. As self-efficacy increases, clients become more proactive in applying strategies under pressure. The role of the therapist is crucial in scaffolding this progression, designing exercises, interpreting feedback, and ensuring that training outcomes align with individual goals and challenges. Ultimately, biofeedback examples illustrate a key theme. Physiological change is achievable through informed, intentional practice. Whether managing blood pressure, muscle tension, or emotional responses, clients learn to respond adaptively to internal and external cues, demonstrating the clinical versatility of biofeedback training. Non-declarative memory. Non-declarative memory, also known as implicit or procedural memory, plays a foundational role in the acquisition of self-regulation skills during biofeedback training. Unlike declarative memory, which involves conscious recall, non-declarative memory supports learning that occurs through performance. Clients demonstrate this form of memory when they automatically engage in relaxation or paced breathing during stressful events without needing to recall each step of the training. These skills become ingrained through repetition, feedback, and reinforcement, allowing for seamless application under varying conditions. This type of memory encompasses motor learning, such as muscle relaxation and respiratory control, as well as perceptual learning, including the ability to detect subtle changes in internal state. Clients improve their regulation not only through conscious instruction, but also through experiential learning that builds over time. Priming, another form of non-declarative memory, subtly alters responses to stimuli based on prior exposure, such as a client unconsciously associating calmness with specific breathing rhythms practiced during sessions. Associative learning, closely related to non-declarative memory, is also vital. In biofeedback, clients learn to link specific physiological cues with successful strategies. Over time, these connections become automatic, requiring minimal conscious effort. This allows clients to deploy self-regulation strategies more efficiently and consistently, particularly in high-demand or emotionally charged situations. By strengthening non-declarative memory, biofeedback facilitates lasting physiological change. These memory processes ensure that the skills learned during structured training are accessible and functional in real-life scenarios. As these patterns consolidate, they support long-term adaptation and resilience, making non-declarative memory a key driver of durable therapeutic outcomes. Associative learning. Associative learning enables clients to connect stimuli and responses, forming the foundation for conditioned physiological change in biofeedback. It includes classical and operant conditioning, which are both used to reinforce adaptive behaviors. In classical conditioning, a neutral stimulus becomes associated with a physiological response through repeated pairing with a naturally eliciting stimulus. In biofeedback, this might manifest as a client learning to relax in response to a specific tone or visual cue repeatedly paired with a calming state. This process also supports the development of conditioned emotional responses. For instance, clients may develop anxiety when seeing a blood pressure cuff due to past distressing readings. Biofeedback helps recondition this response by associating the cuff with new, successful regulation experiences. This reconditioning builds a new physiological narrative, helping clients approach former stressors with confidence rather than fear. Operant conditioning, which modifies behavior through consequences, is the second arm of associative learning. In biofeedback, successful physiological changes are followed by positive reinforcement, such as an encouraging auditory tone or visual indicator, which increases the likelihood of repeating the behavior. Over time, reinforcement shapes the physiological response patterns that underpin self-regulation. Together, classical and operant conditioning form a powerful framework for learning through biofeedback. Clients learn not only to recognize and interpret physiological signals, but to modulate them with increasing precision. This associative process is incremental and cumulative, enabling clients to develop complex regulatory skills that generalize beyond training sessions and into their daily lives. Classical conditioning. Classical conditioning involves the pairing of a neutral stimulus with an unconditioned stimulus until the neutral stimulus alone elicits a conditioned response. This learning process is automatic and occurs without conscious awareness, making it highly relevant for physiological regulation. In the context of biofeedback, clients may develop conditioned responses to specific stimuli, such as becoming calm when they hear a tone associated with a reduced heart rate during training. This predictive relationship allows clients to anticipate and adapt to physiological changes before they become distressing. Extinction, a key concept in classical conditioning, occurs when the conditioned stimulus is no longer paired with the unconditioned stimulus, resulting in a gradual weakening of the conditioned response. In biofeedback, this principle is relevant when previous associations, such as anxiety triggered by a medical setting, are replaced with new associations built through successful regulation. Spontaneous recovery may occur, where the extinguished response returns temporarily, but this can be managed through consistent reinforcement of the new learning. Stimulus generalization and discrimination are additional mechanisms that enhance or refine biofeedback learning. Generalization allows clients to apply a learned response to similar stimuli. For example, practicing calm breathing not only during training, but also while waiting in traffic. In contrast, discrimination teaches clients to apply skills selectively, such as using relaxation strategies during high-stress events, but not during routine activities when arousal is appropriate. By leveraging classical conditioning, biofeedback can help reshape maladaptive reflexive responses into adaptive ones. Through consistent pairing of calming interventions with stress cues, clients develop new automatic patterns of regulation. These learned responses offer a foundation for improved physiological and emotional stability in real-world environments. Operant conditioning. Operant conditioning, a central principle in biofeedback training, involves modifying voluntary behaviors through the consequences of those behaviors. In this framework, a behavior followed by a rewarding consequence is more likely to recur. Within biofeedback, clients receive immediate reinforcement, such as a positive sound or visual indicator, when they successfully alter a physiological parameter, like reducing muscle tension or increasing heart rate variability. This reinforcement strengthens the behavior, making it more frequent and consistent over time. The training environment plays a critical role in shaping behavior. Discriminative stimuli, such as contextual cues like the presence of a therapist or a specific breathing pace, signal when a behavior is likely to be reinforced. Clients gradually learn to associate these cues with the desired physiological response, enhancing their ability to respond adaptively in different settings. For example, clients may learn to initiate slow breathing in response to early signs of anxiety, such as rapid heart rate or muscle tension. Both positive and negative reinforcement are used in operant conditioning. Positive reinforcement involves adding a desirable stimulus following the behavior, such as feeling relaxed after practicing paced breathing. Negative reinforcement removes an aversive condition, such as anxiety, which also increases the likelihood of repeating the behavior. Importantly, this differs from punishment, which weakens behavior and can lead to unintended negative outcomes, such as avoidance of training. Operant conditioning and biofeedback transforms regulation into an active, intentional process. As clients associate physiological states with reinforcing outcomes, they gain control over previously automatic responses. This method facilitates sustained behavior change, empowering individuals to manage symptoms and optimize functioning through learned, goal-directed action. Reinforcement criteria. Reinforcement criteria and biofeedback determine the parameters under which client behavior is rewarded and are crucial for shaping effective training. The nature, timing, and frequency of reinforcement have a significant influence on learning outcomes. Early in training, continuous reinforcement, where every desired behavior is reinforced, is often used to establish the target response. However, as clients gain proficiency, this schedule is typically replaced by partial or intermittent reinforcement to promote durability and generalization of the skills. Variable reinforcement schedules, where reinforcement is delivered after unpredictable intervals or response counts, are particularly effective in neurofeedback. These schedules mirror real-life conditions and prevent extinction by maintaining client engagement and expectancy. For instance, a client may receive feedback after every third successful attempt or after variable durations of sustained physiological change. This approach promotes resilience and response persistence even when reinforcement becomes less predictable. The effectiveness of reinforcement also depends on the immediacy of feedback. Delayed reinforcement reduces the association between behavior and consequence, weakening learning. Therefore, successful training systems provide real-time or near-immediate feedback to enhance behavioral contingency. The type of reinforcement, whether auditory, visual, or verbal, should also be individualized based on client preference and response patterns to maximize motivational impact. Conflicting reinforcement, environmental distractions, or inconsistent expectations can undermine the effectiveness of training. To maintain progress, therapists must evaluate and adjust reinforcement criteria throughout the process. Optimal reinforcement strategies are adaptive, evidence-based, and tailored to the client's learning phase. They are a cornerstone of operant learning and essential to achieving voluntary physiological control in biofeedback. Shaping. Shaping is a behavioral technique used in biofeedback to teach complex or novel skills by reinforcing successive approximations of the target behavior. Rather than requiring clients to produce the full desired response from the outset, shaping allows them to progress incrementally. For example, a client may initially be rewarded for slight reductions in muscle tension, with criteria gradually tightened until the desired level of relaxation is achieved. This approach lowers frustration and builds confidence, fostering a positive learning experience. This method is especially valuable during the early training stages, when the client is unfamiliar with internal cues or the feedback interface. By breaking the skill into manageable steps, shaping facilitates steady improvement and maintains motivation. As proficiency increases, reinforcement criteria are refined to encourage more precise control. Shaping thus bridges the gap between novice performance and mastery by acknowledging partial success and promoting progressive refinement. Shaping also supports generalization by teaching clients how to respond to varying contexts and physiological demands. For instance, a client may initially learn to reduce anxiety during a guided session and later shape the same behavior in more challenging settings, like during public speaking. As skills become more nuanced, clients develop greater confidence and flexibility in their regulation strategies. Effective shaping requires careful observation, timely reinforcement, and adaptive goal setting by the practitioner. It is an essential tool in the therapist's repertoire, promoting both competence and autonomy. Through shaping, clients not only acquire physiological control, but also experience the cumulative rewards of consistent effort and incremental learning. 6 influential biofeedback models. 6 conceptual models have guided the theoretical development and clinical practice of biofeedback: the cybernetic, operant conditioning, drug, placebo, relaxation, and skill development models. Each offers a unique lens through which to understand how biofeedback works, its mechanisms of action, and its role in symptom relief or performance enhancement. These models vary in their assumptions about learning, motivation, and the source of treatment effects, influencing both research and therapeutic approaches. The cybernetic model views biofeedback as a control system that utilizes feedback loops to maintain physiological stability, much like a thermostat regulates temperature. It emphasizes the importance of feedback in achieving homeostasis and supports interventions that correct deviations from biological set points. The operant conditioning model, by contrast, focuses on behavior modification through reinforcement, viewing biofeedback as a means to strengthen voluntary control over physiological processes through reward-based learning. The drug model treats biofeedback as analogous to a pharmacological intervention administered in sessions of fixed dosage, regardless of individual learning needs. This model is critiqued for promoting passive client roles and neglecting the skill-building aspect. The placebo model attributes biofeedback's effects to expectancy and nonspecific therapeutic factors. While placebo effects are real and can potentiate treatment, this model overlooks the measurable, skill-based changes achieved through biofeedback training. The relaxation model assumes that biofeedback inherently induces a relaxation response. While often true, this model overlooks the complexity and specificity of biofeedback applications. Finally, the skill development model integrates elements from all others, but prioritizes learning, practice, and mastery. It frames biofeedback as a personalized, dynamic training process that fosters self-efficacy and psychophysiological flexibility. Each model contributes to a nuanced understanding of biofeedback and its multifaceted applications. Cybernetic model. The cybernetic model conceptualizes biofeedback as a self-regulating system governed by feedback loops, much like a thermostat maintaining room temperature. In this framework, the body is viewed as a dynamic system that maintains physiological stability, homeostasis, by monitoring internal variables and initiating corrective actions. A sensor detects deviations from a set point, for example, elevated blood pressure, and integrating sensor processes this input, and effectors initiate changes to restore balance. In biofeedback, external instruments augment this internal monitoring, providing clients with more precise and immediate feedback than their own sensory systems can supply. This model emphasizes negative feedback loops, in which deviations from a target are corrected to maintain stability. For instance, when a client's skin temperature drops due to sympathetic arousal, feedback allows them to identify the change and apply relaxation strategies to warm their hands, thus restoring equilibrium. Positive feedback and antagonistic control, such as the opposing actions of the sympathetic and parasympathetic branches, are also accounted for in this model, providing a more comprehensive representation of complex physiological regulation. The cybernetic model reinforces the idea that biofeedback supplements and refines the body's natural regulatory capacities. By enhancing proprioception and interoception, clients learn to detect subtle physiological changes and respond adaptively. It supports the notion that clients are not merely learning to perform discrete behaviors, but are gaining the ability to modulate systems that ordinarily function outside conscious control. This model remains foundational to the field because it articulates how feedback transforms internal chaos into regulated order. It validates the use of feedback as an essential therapeutic tool and underlines the potential of biofeedback to restore functional integrity in dysregulated physiological systems. Operant conditioning model. The operant conditioning model posits that biofeedback works through reinforcement-based learning, where voluntary physiological changes are shaped and maintained by their consequences. This model views the client as an active participant whose behaviors, such as muscle relaxation or changes in breathing, are selectively reinforced through immediate feedback. When successful responses are followed by positive reinforcement, such as a pleasant tone or graphic, the likelihood of repeating the behavior increases. Over time, this process strengthens self-regulatory abilities. However, the operant model has limitations. It tends to emphasize response strengthening without addressing the importance of instructional guidance, client awareness, and individualized feedback. For example, simply reinforcing a lower muscle tension reading may not help if the client doesn't understand the context or lacks an effective strategy for achieving it. Moreover, learning purely through trial and error may be inefficient or frustrating without structured coaching. Despite these shortcomings, the operant model remains integral to biofeedback practice. It highlights the centrality of reinforcement schedules, stimulus control, and response generalization. It also highlights the importance of carefully managing environmental variables that may facilitate or hinder learning. The model helps clinicians structure sessions in a way that promotes gradual skill acquisition through systematic shaping and reinforcement. Overall, the operant conditioning model frames biofeedback as a form of behavioral training. When used in conjunction with cognitive, instructional, and contextual support, it provides a powerful means to help clients achieve voluntary control over physiological functions that are otherwise automatic. Drug model. The drug model approaches biofeedback as if it were a pharmacological intervention, emphasizing symptom reduction through standardized, time-limited application. In this view, biofeedback is prescribed in predetermined doses, such as 5 sessions of thermal feedback for migraine or 10 sessions of EEG training for ADHD. This model downplays individual learning trajectories and treats the training like a medical procedure rather than a skill development process. This approach can be problematic because it fosters client passivity and undermines the core learning principles that underlie biofeedback. Clients may expect symptom relief without engaging in active practice or without developing the skills necessary for self-regulation. The model may also limit clinical flexibility, preventing therapists from adjusting session length or content based on individual needs and responses. Moreover, the drug model overlooks the principle that effective biofeedback requires training to criterion rather than training by prescription. The number of sessions needed for mastery can vary widely depending on a client's condition, motivation, and learning capacity. For example, a client might require only a few sessions to learn hand warming, while another may need extensive reinforcement and coaching over many weeks. Despite its flaws, the drug model persists in insurance reimbursement systems and institutional policies that emphasize cost containment over individualized care. For biofeedback to fulfill its potential, clinicians must move beyond this model, ensuring that training is guided by progress and learning outcomes rather than by arbitrary session limits. The focus should remain on helping clients gain durable control over physiological systems, not just temporary relief. Placebo model. The placebo model suggests that biofeedback's effectiveness is largely due to nonspecific factors, such as client expectations, therapeutic setting, and belief in the treatment. It draws parallels with placebo effects observed in pharmacological studies, where inert substances produce measurable changes simply because individuals believe they are receiving an active intervention. From this perspective, biofeedback outcomes may be attributed to expectancy, attention, and conditioned responses rather than to the specific training of self-regulation skills. While placebo responses are real and can enhance all therapeutic interventions, this model fails to capture the distinct and measurable physiological changes produced through targeted biofeedback. For instance, clients trained to lower heart rate variability through resonance breathing or increase SMR amplitude through neurofeedback demonstrate skill-dependent, replicable physiological shifts. These effects persist beyond the training context and are correlated with improvements in clinical symptoms. The placebo model also risks diminishing the therapist's role in structured learning. If outcomes are viewed as nonspecific, less attention may be paid to the critical components of effective training, such as the quality of feedback, reinforcement schedules, and practice assignments. This can lead to poor treatment fidelity and a misunderstanding of how biofeedback works as a behavioral intervention. Nonetheless, the model serves as a useful reminder of the power of context, therapeutic alliance, and client belief. These factors can potentiate biofeedback outcomes when integrated with skill-based approaches. Rather than viewing placebo effects as the primary mechanism, they should be considered complementary enhancers that, when aligned with evidence-based methods, can optimize treatment efficacy. Relaxation model. The relaxation model conceptualizes biofeedback as inherently promoting relaxation, often equating feedback training with stress reduction. In this view, the act of observing physiological data is assumed to calm the nervous system, leading to improved health outcomes. This perspective has led some clinicians and researchers to use biofeedback interchangeably with relaxation techniques, such as progressive muscle relaxation or meditation. While feedback-assisted relaxation can indeed be effective, this model oversimplifies the process by neglecting the intentional learning and skill development required for sustainable change. One of the model's limitations is that feedback does not always induce relaxation. Some clients become anxious when they see elevated physiological readings, particularly early in training. Without appropriate framing and coaching, clients may react to feedback with self-criticism or hypervigilance, which can undermine the training goals. Moreover, many biofeedback applications are not intended to relax the individual, but to optimize performance or increase physiological flexibility, such as training alertness or focus in athletes or students. The relaxation model also fails to account for individual differences in how clients respond to biofeedback. Not all clients benefit from passive relaxation. Some require active coping strategies or arousal modulation tailored to their specific condition. For example, an individual with depression may need to increase activation rather than reduce it, and feedback must be aligned with this goal. Despite these shortcomings, the relaxation model has utility when applied appropriately and with nuance. It reinforces the idea that biofeedback can modulate autonomic function, but it must be supplemented with individualized instruction, guided practice, and clear objectives to avoid misleading assumptions about its effects. Models that emphasize skill development. Models that emphasize skill development represent the most comprehensive and accurate conceptualization of biofeedback. These models view biofeedback as a structured learning process in which individuals acquire, refine, and generalize self-regulation skills. Clients are seen as active participants, and the therapist serves as a coach who facilitates learning through feedback, reinforcement, modeling, and motivational strategies. This framework aligns with motor learning theory and behavioral psychology, highlighting the incremental nature of skill acquisition and the importance of practice and feedback. Skill-based models shift the emphasis from symptom reduction to functional competence. The goal is not merely to feel better during training sessions, but to internalize control strategies that transfer to real-world situations. This includes building awareness of physiological cues, applying learned skills in stressful situations, and integrating regulation into daily routines. These models are especially useful for chronic or complex conditions that require long-term management rather than immediate symptom relief. The therapeutic alliance is integral in this approach. Therapists help clients set realistic goals, interpret feedback accurately, and navigate challenges that arise during training. The process is collaborative and adaptive, accounting for learning curves, motivational fluctuations, and contextual influences. Clients who succeed under this model often develop increased self-efficacy, resilience, and a deeper understanding of their psychophysiological patterns. By focusing on learning and mastery, skill development models elevate biofeedback from a symptomatic intervention to a method of empowerment. They validate the effort required to change deeply ingrained physiological responses and promote long-term engagement by framing success as the result of cumulative, self-directed effort. Next, we'll review two examples of models that emphasize skill development: Blanchard and Epstein's 1978 self-regulation model and Schellenberger and Green's 1986 mastery model. Blanchard and Epstein's 1978 self-regulation model. Blanchard and Epstein's self-regulation model outlines five key components that support lasting psychophysiological change: self-monitoring, discrimination, self-control, self-reinforcement, and self-maintenance. This model views biofeedback not as a discrete intervention, but as a vehicle for teaching clients to manage their own internal states. The emphasis is on structured learning and the gradual internalization of self-regulation strategies, which continue even after training has ended. Self-monitoring involves becoming aware of physiological and behavioral patterns in real time, such as noticing when breathing becomes shallow during stress. Discrimination enables clients to identify when and where to apply specific self-regulation skills based on internal cues or situational demands. Self-control is the intentional use of a strategy, like slow breathing, to alter one's physiological state. Self-reinforcement involves rewarding oneself for successfully using a skill, while self-maintenance refers to the long-term integration of skills into everyday life. This model is particularly effective for chronic or recurring conditions such as anxiety, hypertension, or pain, where long-term management is necessary. By focusing on self-directed strategies, it fosters autonomy and a sense of agency. Clients transition from relying on external feedback to self-sufficiency, eventually recognizing physiological shifts and responding appropriately without external instrumentation. The self-regulation model remains influential because it captures the essence of biofeedback as a method of learning and adaptation. It integrates the behavioral, cognitive, and emotional dimensions of change, providing a clear roadmap for both clients and therapists. It also serves as a counterpoint to models that promote dependence on devices or time-limited sessions, reinforcing the enduring value of skill mastery. Schellenberger and Green's 1986 mastery model. Schellenberger and Green's mastery model compares biofeedback training to coaching in athletic or artistic performance. It emphasizes the social and instructional components of training, where the therapist acts as a mentor who models skills, provides structured feedback, and supports the development of psychophysiological competence. This model frames the learning process as cumulative and social, requiring time, practice, and relational support to achieve mastery. The mastery model emphasizes that information alone is insufficient for bringing about change. Just as a stopwatch does not improve a runner's form without coaching, feedback without guidance does not guarantee improved regulation. Context, motivation, and reinforcement must align to create a learning environment where feedback becomes meaningful and actionable. The model encourages therapists to create training conditions that challenge clients appropriately and adapt techniques based on individual readiness and skill level. Therapists trained under this model often incorporate behavioral rehearsal, graduated difficulty, and client-generated solutions into their sessions. They view setbacks as part of the learning process and use them to foster resilience and enhance problem-solving skills. By emphasizing collaboration and mutual respect, the model also fosters the development of a strong therapeutic alliance, which in turn enhances client engagement and outcomes. Schellenberger and Green's approach provides a robust framework for long-term skill development and generalization. It promotes independence, reinforces the value of practice, and aligns biofeedback with evidence-based learning theory. This model continues to inform best practices by framing biofeedback as a disciplined process of coaching and mastery, rather than a passive therapeutic exposure.